Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Shalom. How nice is it to be able to experience the Shalom of God, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ that surpasses understanding. Definitely, there are many, many people in the world today who do not have such a peace. In fact, they are very troubled, very confused, maybe very lost, and could even be in despair. What is the time or season that we are now living in the big scheme of things, in the grand design of God? Are there any clues in the Bible? Are there any teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let us look at the final week of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth before he died, and see what he had to say. From Matthew chapter 21 onwards, we can see the last week of Jesus Christ. And this corresponds very closely with Luke chapter 19 onwards and also Mark 11 onwards. And it begins with what we call the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And this is commonly called Palm Sunday. You remember that on that Sunday, the people cut branches and wave, and they put their clothes on the ground, and Jesus riding on the donkey into Jerusalem as a king. And Jesus knew that this will be the last entry into Jerusalem. He had taught the disciples many times that he will be going into Jerusalem to die in Jerusalem. And this is where he was heading, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And in a few days' time, he was going to die. And Jesus was determined, he was resolute. And in a few days later, he was arrested and he was crucified, not as or any other kind of persons, but as the worst criminal, because only the worst criminal will die as on the cross, being crucified on the cross. Now, in this final week of Jesus Christ, he re-emphasized again his mission. And even at the Last Supper, he taught in a very vivid manner that he was going to die for humankind. He was going to die for our sins. But also that he would rise again. Not only to die for our sins, but also to rise again from the dead, to tell us that we will also rise with him to eternal life, and also to rise on the last day when he comes again. And even when Jesus was taking the Last Supper, he was teaching about his death, but also giving the teaching that when we take the Lord's Supper, the Bible teaches us that we are remembering his death until he comes again. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the death of Jesus until he comes again. So in the final week of Jesus, he did teach about his coming again, the end of the age. For in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the disciples were asking Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So when Jesus is going to come again for the second time, he will usher in the end of the age. And Jesus taught the disciples about the signs of his second coming and also the signs of the end of the age. And in Matthew chapter 24, also Luke chapter 21 and Mark chapter 13, Jesus mentioned a lot of signs. And some of these signs will happen just before he comes. But then there are other signs which Jesus called birth pains. Now we know that when a lady is about to give birth, the birth pains will come at a point in time. And the birth will not come immediately, it will take a while. It may take many hours. But then these pains will increase in intensity. So the signs that Jesus was teaching, he mentioned quite a number of signs. And most of these signs, we have been seeing them for quite a while. But it is very important to take note that in the last 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years, within this last 30 years, this last three decades, there is definitely an increase of the intensity and the severity of these birth pains, of the signs of the times. And one of these signs that Jesus was teaching about is called the pestilence, or the pestilences in various places. You can find this in Luke chapter 21, verse 11. Now, it is interesting to take note that 30 plus years ago, 40 years ago, there was a lot of optimism in the world that the diseases that had been causing a lot of problems and a lot of deaths in the world could be conquered, could even be eradicated. And the reason was because of modern technology, because of science, because of new drugs that have been discovered, because of better health care and even better nutrition. Many of these diseases could be reduced and could even be eradicated. Diseases like malaria, polio, tuberculosis, smallpox. And some of these people may be asking these questions, wow, you Christians are saying that in the last days there will be all these pestilences in different places. Are you sure or not? Because of modern science, we are able to conquer many diseases, even to eradicate them. But in the last few decades, even in the last 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years, humankind is dazed with the pestilences that are bombarding the world. Are you aware of that? And many of these diseases are new diseases, never seen before in the world. But more shocking is that some of the old diseases that were supposed to be conquered were reappearing. There is a resurgence of old diseases. For example, TB, tuberculosis. In 2018, just 2 years ago, 1.5 million people died from TB. TB is becoming a serious problem again in the world. And again, during that year, malaria is causing a lot of deaths in the world. There are 405,000 people dying from malaria just 2 years ago. So some of these old diseases are coming back and they are causing trouble again, and people are dying from these old diseases that we thought were conquered and that we thought were eradicated. And the reason, or maybe one of the reasons, is that this kind of diseases that used to be responding to certain drugs, to certain antibiotics, are no longer responding to this kind of drugs. They are drug resistant already. And we could be living in an era that some people call it the post-antibiotic era. But the thing is that during these last few decades, there was a bombardment of new diseases. About 30 plus years ago, there was a devastating disease that appeared in the world. And the World Health Organization had said that it is the most devastating disease humankind has ever faced. You know what I'm talking about? This disease is called AIDS, A-I-D-S. And by the end of 2018, 32 million people in the world had died because of AIDS or because of the consequences related to AIDS. And 74.9 million people in the world have been infected with AIDS. So AIDS was and still is a dreadful disease that had come upon the world. And of course, we know of other new diseases in recent times like SARS, like Ebola, like H1N1, like MERS. And just within this most recent time, in the last few months, it came at the end of last year, 2019, a new disease that we are now all aware of, and that is called COVID-19. And within a few months, this disease is causing havoc in the whole world in such a way that many of us, and maybe all of us, have never seen before happening in the world, where so many places in the world is actually being in lockdown, where people are not allowed to get out of their house and other people cannot get into the house, where people cannot go to work, and when people in so many places in the world may have no income, and there is uncertainty whether there might be enough food, and there has been panic buying. So this COVID-19 has suddenly come upon the world, and it has dazed humankind and shocked the whole world. And governments in the world today are still struggling and trying to find out what could be done, and they are not sure what is going to happen. And so right now, many are in despair because of COVID-19 that came upon the world. Now, is this something that is catching us who knows the Bible unaware? Do we know that Jesus has actually told us that at the end, before he comes again, there will be pestilences in various places? Now, I'm not going to talk about too many of these signs that Jesus was talking about even during the last week when he was alive in the earth. But I will mention just maybe one or two or three more. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 21 verse 11 that there will be famines and pestilences in various places. Famines and pestilences. And again, just a few decades ago, I remember that there were people who were saying that famines could be something of the past. Why? Why do they say that? Because of modern technology, because of new discoveries and new inventions and new thinking, new ways. For example, last time, on 1 acre of land, a certain crop may be able to produce 1 ton of food, but now they could produce 2 tons, 3 tons, or maybe even 4 tons. And food that needs to be grown on the ground by soil actually now can be grown without soil. So we can have more food nowadays than in the past. So should there be still famines in the modern world? And even if there is going to be a famine at a certain place, it could easily be resolved because we can easily get food from another place, because nowadays we have aeroplanes. In the past, you could only reach a place by ships or by road, and it could take a long, long time. But now it can be very fast. Aeroplanes can bring food to a place that have famine. So famine should not be a problem in the modern world. But according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization in 2016, they estimated that there were 815 million people who were suffering from chronic malnutrition, and that there was not enough food for 10.7% of the world population, and that 10.7% of the population would go to bed hungry. Is this going to get better? We know that global warming is getting more and more serious, and global warming is going to have an influence and effect on the production of food. And there is now the depletion of natural resources in the whole world. So famines is still a problem, and maybe a greater problem in the world today. And Jesus has said that there will be famines and pestilences in various places in the last days. And Jesus also, in the same chapter, talked about persecutions. He said that people will lay hands on you and persecute you. Many of us think that persecution is something of the past in historical times. And in this modern day, when people have so much more wisdom and so much more intelligence and so much more experience, we shouldn't be persecuting one another. So Christian persecutions, even if there are such things, it should be very much reduced. But there is this discovery that persecutions in the modern times are even worse than the olden times. Open Doors, in an article in 2019, reported that over 260 million Christians are living in places where there is a high level of persecution. And that in 2019, 2,983 Christians has been killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. And 9,488 churches and other Christian buildings have been attacked. And 3,711 believers have been detained without trial, have been arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. Persecution is a very serious thing in the modern day. And Jesus had said that these are signs of his coming. Another thing that Jesus mentioned about was earthquakes. And there are many data that are coming out in this day and time that earthquakes have been increasing in their frequency and in their severity in modern times. And so these are some of the signs that Jesus was teaching about during his last few days on earth. When he came into Jerusalem, he was concerned that this topic be known, be taught by his disciples. And we know that these signs are really increasing, and they are becoming more severe, and they are very, very real in this very day. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, what was his attention? His eyes were on the cross. He was going to die. But his eyes were also on the end times. And on these two topics, he taught his disciples, because these two topics were of absolute importance. He was going to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can receive salvation from Jesus. But he was also coming for us the second time. And this was another topic that Jesus taught us. So surely Jesus is coming again for the second time. We find so many teachings about the second coming in the Bible. And Jesus taught about his second coming and the end times during his last few days on earth. So surely what is happening in the world today and in recent times, just in recent times, are related to the signs that Jesus was teaching about in regards to his second coming. The important question now is, how are we to live? Are we only living for the present moment and being confused and being lost because of what is happening today? Or are we able to have an understanding that what is happening today is part of the big picture of the sovereign plan and purpose of God in his historical timeline? And if we can have an understanding that even during his last few days on earth, Jesus has been teaching us on such things, we actually can find assurance and comfort in spite of the despair, in spite of the confusion, the lostness, and the fear that is happening in the whole world today. So we should not be fearful. In fact, we can have peace. We can have the shalom of God because we know that God is still God and he is still the sovereign God, and he has already warned us of what is going to happen. But knowing that the last days, his second coming, is getting very, very near. The birth pains are already there, but now they are increasing in severity. That means that the day is really very, very soon. And therefore, we should not be just living for the moment. We should also be living with the future in mind. And where we put our treasures will be of great importance. Where is our focus? Is our focus on worldly things? Now, Jesus wants us to enjoy worldly things, but worldly things should not be our focus. Our focus should be heavenly things. We should seek first his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, are we earnestly seeking the kingdom of God? Or are we seeking our own kingdom? Are we still very self-centered? Are we still seeking things of the world? Or are we seeking the kingdom of God? A very important question, especially in this day and time. Where are we fixing our eyes? Are we fixing our eyes on Jesus? Or are we fixing our eyes on things of the world? Where are we putting our treasures? How are we living today in the context of the grand design of God? This is a good moment. This is a good day to reflect on these things and to ensure that we are living properly, that we are living rightly, and that we are walking on the right path. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we are so grateful to you that you have taught us about this day and about these times, so that we don't need to be confused, we don't need to be fearful, we don't need to be lost. How good is it, Lord, that even though the mountains would roar and shake and trample and the waters foam, you are always our fortress, our strength, and our help, and an ever-present help in times of trouble. Oh Lord, this is a troubled time, but you are here to help us, you are here to strengthen us, and you are here even to bless us. Lord, help each one of us to have the assurance and the comfort that you are still in charge, and help us to know how to focus our eyes and where to put our hearts, and that our hearts should not be on earthly things, but our hearts on heavenly things. Thank you again, O Lord, for this reminder from your word. And may your peace and may your grace be upon each and every one of us. For this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.